Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, the witness of two. Deuteronomy 19. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Tim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house here this morning, Father. Mm-hmm. And as we open up your word here this morning, and Pastor preaches from your word here this morning, Father, that's why we're here, to hear from you this morning, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be better equipped to serve you in the days ahead, Father. So I pray that you give the pastor the words to say. I pray that our hearts are prepared to receive your word. Father, I just ask that you speak to our hearts through it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of what?
Two witnesses.
Or at the mouth of what?
Three witnesses
shall the matter be established. So God ordained here for the matter of some sin that one witness cannot rise up against another to condemn the person, because obviously then it's just one person's word against another, and that can be bad. Someone can falsely accuse others. In fact, it can happen with two as well. Notice in Matthew 26, even of the Lord Jesus, you know, the wicked people were against him, and so two of them got together, two false witnesses. Matthew 26:60. So you even have to be careful with two, but let's start in verse 59, Matthew 26:59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought what?
False witnesses.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad when leaders search for false witnesses? That's what they were doing against Jesus. They sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Verse 60, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came what?
Two
false witnesses. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Now you notice in Mark chapter 14, referring to this incident, it lets us know that it was found out that they were false witnesses, even though they came to testify against Jesus. Mark 14:57, and there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. So it was found out that they were false witnesses. Well, fast forward then from the Old Testament to the New Testament in Matthew 18. So God keeps this principle of two or three in effect in the New Testament for the church. In Matthew 18:15. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, what?
Alone.
So if you have a problem with someone, go to the person alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee, what?
One or two more.
That in the mouth of what?
Two or three
witnesses, every word may be established. So God so ordained that this principle of two or three. Even in the tribulation period, notice in Revelation 11, God in the tribulation period could have sent an Elijah or a John the Baptist. But notice what we're going to read here. Revelation 11 and verse 3. Revelation 11, 3. God speaking says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Well, those days work out to 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years, the two witnesses prophesy, and then God allows them to be killed. He raises them from the dead, and then Satan is cast out of the heavenly realm at that point. The last 3.5 years, it's known as great tribulation. Satan has come down having great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So it's interesting that when trying to reach the Jewish people and all people in the tribulation period, that God sends two witnesses to testify of the truth. So it's like trying to get to the Jewish people, listen, this is the truth. I've sent my two witnesses to testify what is coming and what you must do. So I was thinking about this principle of two or more witnesses. And I was thinking about creation. And notice in Psalm 14, you know, I don't know how many generations now have been taught evolution in schools, in college. And so we deal with so many people that do not believe that God created heaven and earth and do not believe that God created mankind. But in Psalm 14, verse 1, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So how many people in this world really are there anymore that believe the first 10 words of the Bible? Let's go back there to Genesis 1. How many people in the world today really, truly believe the first 10 words of the Bible? What are they? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. And not only the heaven and the earth, but everything in it. Look in Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed who? Man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God created man of the dust. Why is it that we so easily get so proud in life? We're just dirt. We're just dust. We should be lowly, shouldn't we? But it's so easy to be filled with pride. But God created man of the dust of the earth. Well, what about the woman? Well, in verse 18, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So then God forms all the animals. And then down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. So God is the first anesthesiologist. When I was having a procedure done, I don't know, in the last year or two, the anesthesiologist come in there and talk to me, and this is, he was leaving. I said, I have a question for you. You know, usually they say, do you have a question? And so I says, who was the first anesthesiologist? And he says, wait a minute, don't tell me. And then he come out with a name. And I told him, I said, well, it was God. God is the first one who put someone to sleep and did surgery. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So God created the heaven and the earth. God created the animals. God created man and woman. And so God has left this witness, but there are so many scoffers today. And so it just made me think, okay, this principle of two or more witnesses is important to God to establish the truth, and left that principle to man, the Old Testament and the New Testament, at the very end, in the tribulation period. He's still using that principle of two witnesses. And so I began to think about the body. Notice in Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. When you think about evolution, it is just so far-fetched. But in Proverbs 20, verse 12, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye The Lord hath what? Made even both of them. So God made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. He made them both. So I just thought about the eye. Just stop with me for a moment this morning and think about how complex the eye is. The National Eye Institute gives a simple description of what the eye does, and I'll read it to you here. It says, first, light passes through the cornea, the clear front layer of the eye. The cornea is shaped like a dome and bends light to help the eye focus. Some of this light enters through the eye through an opening called the pupil. The iris, which is the colored part of the eye, controls how much light the pupil lets in. Next, light passes through the lens, a clear inner part of the eye. The lens works together with the cornea to focus light correctly, on the retina. When light hits the retina, and that's a light-sensitive layer of tissue at the back of the eye, special cells called photoreceptors turn the light into electrical signals. These electrical signals travel from the retina through the optic nerve to the brain. Then the brain turns the signals into the images you see. And then it goes on, your eyes also need tears to work correctly. So I've read it through. Now let's just look at that. Just think with me the miraculous nature of this. So the light passes through the cornea there. And when you stop and think about it, okay, if man is just here by random chance, if it's just through random mutations that we were formed, stop and think about the eye, just how complex it is. Okay, if the eye was randomly formed and by accident, why is the opening in the eye out the front? It could have been the side and there'd be nothing but darkness. The opening could have been down, nothing but darkness. Sideways, upward. There's only one way that the opening would do any good if it was facing forward. What are the chances that would have happened? What are the chances that the eye, being such a delicate organ, is placed into a socket in our skull for protection? You think about it, talked about the tears needed. There are three parts to tears. I didn't know how far to go with all this, but tears are not just water. They have to lubricate the eye. And in fact, that's a whole nother story. The eye would not work without a lubrication system, a plumbing system. It wouldn't work. Have you ever had dry eyes? What happens? Your eyes get scratchy and they hurt. And in fact, you can't see clearly. When you go to the optometrist, especially if you're in for a longer exam, or maybe just a normal one, but oftentimes the doctor has said to me, blink. Before you do this, you need to blink. Why? You need to get that layer of tears back over your eye. You can't see correctly without those tears. In fact, I'm nearsighted, so I can't see far away. But without my glasses, if I have enough tears over my eyes, that will actually bring my eyes more into focus. So looking through that water will bring my eyes more into focus. So we all need that layer of water. Now, if the eye is just an accident, just random chance, it's just amazing. The eye would not be protected without being back in that socket. It needs that lubrication around it. All of that by random accident? No way. So the cornea being, it has to be like dome-shaped to help focus the light. The light needs to be focused back at a point in the eye. Who made the cornea domed like that? When I think about cameras, it talked there about the pupil and the iris controlling how much light is let in. Those of you who are into photography and cameras know about the aperture And, you know, a cheap little camera doesn't really do well at night because you don't have the control over the aperture. And, you know, it needs to be open. That's why, in the morning, if you are sleeping, well, even at night, if you are sleeping and you go into the bathroom, this will be quite a shock if you do this, but get your face right next to the mirror and then flip on the light. And you're going to see your, you know, big black spots. Your eyes are dilated large, and then they're going to try to close down quick because it's blinding bright light there. So that was all by accident. How many of you have ever been almost, in a way, blinded by a bright LED sign at night? Well, some of them are just, they hurt the eyes. Well, the cheaper LED lights that are out, the signs lighting that are out there, just have one setting, bright. Bright enough to be seen in sunlight. And so at night, they're just like, they hurt the eyes. They're so bright. Well, God created our eyes where we could function at night and low light or during the day. And to do that, you have to have that aperture ability of the eye to close down and let just a little light in, or at night open way up and let a lot of light in. Are you saying that's all by random chance? The lens, some of you who have had cataract surgery, you know that they put a new lens in back then there. And so you wouldn't need glasses other than if you're of the age where your eye has lost some of that elasticity, then you still need reading glasses, but they will try to put the right lens in your eye where you will not need glasses when you get cataract surgery. Who put that lens in there? Are you saying that just formed by random chance or just happens to be a lens in there for that focusing ability? Who created the retina? The back side of our eye is like photoreceptors. And this really kind of hits home with me because in my lifetime, digital cameras have just come into being. And so when they first come out with them, you know, the picture quality was rather poor. And so, you know, you're not dealing with mirrors showing an image on actual film. You're just dealing with pixels, digital dots. And the quality was poor. And, of course, it was first, I don't know, what was it, like 6 megapixels or something? I don't know. Brother Steve or Brother Barry might know, or some of you in the cameras. Those first digital cameras, the pixels were very small. And now they're large. But who created the eye? Are you saying that's all just random chance, that the back of the eye is like a photo film, like a digital camera to discern? And so just think of the miracle of the eye. It's looking at things, and just in electrical impulses, and that's another miracle of the eye, the optic nerve hooked to the eye. Who made that wiring harness? How many of you believe that the wiring harness in your car could ever evolve? There was a car out that was left out here some months ago I told you about, and they wanted to know if they could leave it there. They wanted to work on it, and I said, sure. Well, it went on and on and on, so we finally had to call the police and have them come. And so when the police came, I looked in that car, and there was just, right under the steering wheel, there was just a mass of wires sticking out. Have you ever tried to trace them? There's only one person I know that could maybe do it in here, and that's Brother Jim. But no one else could ever find out where all those wires go. It's a mass of wires in our cars. Now, there's so many electronic gadgets. There's wires running everywhere. Are you trying to tell me that I could form by random chance and all of those optic nerves could just happen to go to the brain? And speaking of that, who wrote the computer program for the brain to figure out what all that means? How does the brain communicate with the eye? How do all those electrical signals, how can they be interpreted by the brain as distance? Green grass out there. Who told that? What electrical signal is it that determines that's green grass? Blue carpet, blue chairs. What electrical signal is it that's telling you how far away I am from you right now? It's amazing. The eye is a miraculous thing. It's amazing. There is no way that the eye could, there is no chance the eye could ever form by itself. Just think how long it's taken, man. When I was a little boy, I think my baby pictures are in black and white. And just they gradually went into color. I can remember when senior pictures of graduating from high school were black and white. And if you wanted it in color, the photographer would paint it. They would paint it. And they just hadn't perfected a lot of things there. So, but the eye, from the beginning of time, could see color. Television used to be black and white when I was a boy. Went into color. And now there's like the whole wall, it seems like, is a television. I mean, they're giant, giant things. But you know what I thought about this whole thing about the eye? Man tries to explain it away. Oh, yeah, the eye evolved. And then I thought, the witness of two. What do I have next to this eye? Another one. There's no way that this one could have ever evolved. No way. I mean, it's impossible. The eye would have been worthless without the connectivity to the brain. The eye would have been worthless without the plumbing system to it, to water it. Just the right amount of water. If I have too much water flowing over my eye, I can't see. When you're crying heavy, when you're crying hard, can you see clearly? No. Who created that plumbing system? Who created those eyelashes to keep blinking and clear the eye? It's impossible that one eye could ever evolve. But then God just happened to put one like it right next to it. Okay, if this one evolved by chance, if this one evolved, it's not going to be exactly like this one. It's going to figure out different things. I mean, how many of your homes are exactly the same? No one's. No one's here. I would ask how many of your cars are the same, but we don't want to talk about that. For some reason, we're going over to one brand for some reason like that. So, the thing is this, if you put two engineers onto trying to tackle a problem, their answer is not going to be exactly alike. They're going to do things a little differently. But the funny thing is, this eye works the same thing. The same computer program to my brain that runs this eye just happens to work with this eye. And we just switching computers in the church, one of the computers, and it's a nightmare. It seems like I like getting a new computer, and yet I hate getting a new computer. It's just there's programs work with this and that, and they don't work with that, and on and on. So it just happens to be that this eye happens to use the same computer program as this one. And it works. Same plumbing system. You look at a house, plumbers will do things a little differently. This one works the same way. That's a funny thing, the aperture on this eye, the same system on this one. It's funny, this eye just happened to be in a socket. Guess what? So is this one. Same design. That's funny, isn't it? Well, it's because it's the same creator. So God made something impossible to man. He made something impossible to ever evolve. And just to show it was him, he did another one just like it. Right here. And we could, as we think of your Proverbs 20, verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Now think of the placement of your eyes. If my eyes just randomly evolved, Why did they evolve on this side of my face? Why didn't they evolve on this side of my head? Could you imagine eating if the eyes were in the back of your head? How would you get the food off your plate and hit your mouth? How would you do that? If it just evolved, why did the eyes evolve on the right side of my face? Also, can you imagine walking if the eyes were in the back of your head, but walking this way? How did my eyes know enough to evolve on the side of my face where my feet point forward? Who did all that? And did you notice that all these things are taught about our pairs? My feet. I had a bulge on my foot one time, and so I had to be x-rayed, and I said, wow, I said, I didn't realize that my bones, I just thought my foot was like flat bone. And when I saw that x-ray of my feet, it's like, wow, there's these long bones. And doctor said, well, you have a ganglia there. And how do I have a ganglia there? Well, when I saw the x-ray, then I realized those are long bones there. How would you like to button your shirt if your eyes were in the back of your head? That'd be kind of hard to do. How would you like to do anything with your hands if your eyes were in the back of your head? Your hands are stick out this way. You notice they don't go so easy back this way. Who designed all that? And notice the pairs. Two eyes, two ears, two hands, two arms, two shoulders, two legs, two feet, two knees. You notice the pairs, the witness of two. Each one of these individually is miraculous. So what did God do? Just to show you how foolish evolution is, he made two of them, just alike, working under the same way as each other. I just thought that was kind of amazing, because evolutionists kind of, scoff at and just talk about random mutations. Well, just making one of these individual parts would never happen by random chance. But God did it twice. And I think just to show man that it's a direct creation of God. The ear, too, we don't have time to really deal with that, but the ear is so complex in sound. And those of you who have had to get hearing aids or will have to, you either know already or you will know that man cannot match the ear. Man cannot. Hearing aids never do it. Hearing aids can amplify sound but drive you crazy because the sounds are so loud or so unintelligible. And I would encourage you just to study the ear. Just the way God has the vibrations, and God put two funnels on each side of our head. That's amazing. Two ears. Two funnels here on each side of our ear to direct the sound down into there. And it's just amazing how God, the different parts of the ear, so loud sounds don't just drive you crazy, but they're intelligible. The ear has its way of dampening the sound. And or hearing just faint sounds. It's just absolutely amazing. And there's also two different nerves that go to the ear that are wired to your brain to help you to interpret. And by the way, who wrote that computer program for these impulses to be interpreted as sound? So it's the principle of two. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear. And the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. So evolution is absolutely ridiculous. So let's look at John chapter 1. We'll just close this out here. John chapter 1. The next time you run into an evolutionist, just deal with just the complexity of each of these parts of our bodies as a single thing, and then deal with it how God duplicated all of these things. The witness of two. In John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? By Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now today, could you use a little light in your life? Well, let's look at John 8, John 8, 12. Could you use a little light in your life? Do things seem kind of dark? Well, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am what? The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. That's what a lot of people are searching for, and they don't know what it is. They don't know who it is. It's Jesus. He is the light of life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, if there should be any here today that do not know Jesus, the light of life, that they would realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no way that even one of our organs or body parts could have formed by accident. But we see this morning the witness of two. Throughout our bodies, you duplicated many, many parts, the same thing on the other side. Father, we thank you. The witness is true, that you are our Creator and that you want to be everyone's Savior. So, Father, I pray if any should be here that are not saved, you'd help them to realize that Jesus is the Creator, that He is God in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, thus born without a sin nature. He lived a perfect, sinless life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that His pure and precious blood was enough to wash away all our sins. Help them today to repent and to turn to Jesus. Please work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to show these truths to the scoffers, to the atheists, to tell them of their Creator, that they might receive Him as Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.